All right, so ladies and gentlemen, last Sunday, we did a book of Philemon, however way you want to call it, you know, Bible names, you always are subjective, you can call it whatever you want, but we did the book of Philemon last Sunday, so some of you that were not here, what we did, all of us just went through the entire book after a little teaching, and every table and different people came up and gave their knowledge, revelation, insight that God out of it, because that's what the Bible teaches us to do. And as you all know, that we are actually doing every effort we can to make sure that when you come here, what happens here is actually mirrored in Scripture, okay? We want to make sure that what we read in the Bible is what we experience here, is what we do, okay? So it may feel different because we are choosing to be different. We're not trying to do church like we've always done it traditionally. We're trying to go back to the book, to the blueprint. Because when you're building something for years and maybe it's not working out in terms of what God called us to be, sometimes when you're building, you have to go back to the blueprint and consult, like, okay, the structure is not happening the way it's supposed to be. What's going on? You look at the blueprint. When Jesus started the church, he gave us a blueprint, and it's the Bible. And we've noticed it for so long, we as Christians have not been able to be what he called us to be the light, overcomers, victorious, full of joy, and changing lives. And it has happened that many times Sunday is just an exclusive experience. Yeah. 90 minutes, and then Monday comes, we go back to our old lives, and that's not how it's supposed to be, because this wasn't supposed to be an exclusive experience on Sunday. This was supposed to be a life experience. Something that changes you and you live that out. So we are changing things for that very reason. So last Sunday when we did the book of Philemon, when we did that, you all shared something. But I was so blessed to hear different texts and applications and views that everybody gave. But I wanted, with your permission, to share what I seen in it to add on what you all saw in it. Oh, wait, I forgot my clicker. Would you please help me get that remote clicker for me? So what we're going to do today, allow me to share in a brief moment from the book of Philemon, as we did last Sunday, my take, and then we'll do something else today that's going to be fun too. All right, so I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to ask you to work with me here. So let's read. This is Philemon. Verses 1 and 2 is only one chapter there. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, okay? To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, okay? And verse 2 says, and also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, you know. But that's okay, Archie, right? Our fellow soldier to the church that meets in your home. Now, help me. How many? Let's go back. How many personalities do you see here? Let's have 5 people. Okay. Do we?
Yes.
Now, Paul, Philemon, Timothy, Apphia, and Archippus. All right. What adjectives does Paul assign to all this? Paul says he's what?
A prisoner.
Okay. So he's a prisoner. And then Philemon is...
Dear friend.
It's too bite.
Is that dear friend and?
Fellow worker.
Okay, so friend and a worker. All right, and then we go to Timothy. What did he say Timothy was?
Brother.
Okay, Timothy, our brother. And then Apphia was?
Sister.
And then Archippus was
soldier.
Now, this is what was intriguing to me. Because when Paul was writing, he now describes every one of these people in his circle at this moment and describes them in this way. He says, I am a prisoner for Jesus. And then he says, but Philemon is a fellow worker and a dear friend.
Why doesn't he call him a soldier? That's something we want to think about. Then he says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, he's a brother, but he doesn't call him the other one. He doesn't give him, he gives him an adjective, says, you are, Timothy is my brother, right? He's a brother. And then he says, Apphia is a sister. And then Archippus, he says, he's a soldier. Not like a soldier in the army, in the military, in the natural sense, but a soldier in Christ, a fellow soldier. How many know that there must be something about these people, right, that make Paul say your life story, how you do life, who you are, and how you operate. The best way to describe who you are, to me, you're like a soldier in Christ. And Timothy's like a brother, and so is like a sister. Do you see what I'm saying? He's like, there are five people, but you know, everyone has something unique about them. And I'm gonna call, he doesn't, they're all the same. They all love Jesus. He could have said, oh, all my brothers and sisters, and left it at that. He could have said, they're all soldiers, and left it at that. He could have said, they're all workers, and he left it at that. But he went in detail to describe each of them because every one of them had something special and unique about them. But for the case of this study today, since we've been doing the book of Philemon, I want us to focus on Brother Philemon. Okay? You can do your own study about that. Philemon, Brother Philemon was what? He was a friend and a worker. Now, that set him apart. That set him apart from Timothy. That set him apart from Archie. That set him apart from everyone else. He stood out as a friend and a worker. All right? So what kind of work did Philemon do? What made Paul, in all the ways he could describe Philemon, chose to describe him as a friend and a worker? What was that? So we go back to the book, and in verse 7, he says, your love, you follow me? He says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. He says, your love. So your love is where your friendship is rooted. But he says, your love has given me great joy. This is Paul saying, his love, this Philemon's love, the love he walked in, gave Paul joy and encouragement. And he said, you have refreshed the hearts of God's people. It was in that he was known as a worker, because his work was known as a one who refreshed others. He was in a relationship with Paul that was refreshing. We've never needed those relationships that we need them today. A relationship that is godly, but also refreshing. Why? Because the world itself is very, very draining. Many times we're dealing with life, we're dealing with issues at work, issues at home, bills, health issues, phone calls. All these things can all drain us. And sometimes you may find yourself feeling like that. You see how Sun is looking there? You ever felt sometimes feeling like that? Like life just put it to you. Life just gave it to you, you know? And what can you use? You need some refreshing. This is after Sun and I went on a hike. This is about 3 miles up. Mount Rainier, we're about to get to the top, and yeah, and she can use some refreshment. But life is also like that many times, that we get to a place in our lives where we are emotionally and mentally drained, right? That's you, life just does that to you, because we're dealing with so much. We got stuff, we got roommates, we got coworkers, we got all this stuff. It can be exhausting. Okay, and number two, we sometimes our environments, the environment we are in. You know, how many know that when you show up at work, hardly anybody cares about your relationship with God? Nobody cares. cares. They care less. They don't even think about you and God. And nobody cares less about whether you're going to live for Jesus, be about Jesus, and glorify God. No one cares about. Everyone is trying to drain you at work. Sometimes it's the traffic. Sometimes at home. Sometimes the environments we find ourselves in can be very stressful and very draining. And we are in need of being refreshed. Okay? And what about our culture? The culture that we live in itself does not refresh us. I'm telling you, the culture is not all about saying, hey, you know, get yourself, because our refreshment comes from God. Because here the thing, I mean, you know how it means to get physically drained, but that's not the problem, because when I'm physically drained, I can take a nap. I can get a cold, you know, soda, cold drink, whatever you drink. I can refresh myself if I'm physically tired. But when you're emotionally tired, when you're mentally tired, when you're spiritually exhausted, when the inside of you is empty, that one you can't just sleep. That one you can't just go in the fridge and get a watermelon. You can't fix that by how you fix physical exhaustion. That's why he said you refresh the hearts, not the bodies, because anybody can refresh the bodies. But I'm talking about the inside, the spirit, the internal part of you, the soul of you. So our culture will not push you towards Christ, who is supposed to refresh you. They care less. That's the culture we live in. Nobody is going to do that and look out for you. All right? How about not only that, but what about our nature? I don't know about you, but I don't wake up in the morning, every morning, and I have this irresistible longing to just go on my knees and say, God, I don't wake up like that. I don't wake up in the morning, I'm like, man, I can't wait. I just want to get into my Bible. My nature, what it does, it tries to hinder me. It tries to push it off. The only reason any of us pray is because over and over again, we just go against our nature. Because we know that our nature will always slow us down. Anything about your nature is not going to push you towards God. It's you intentionally saying, I'm not going to go by my flesh, by my desires. I'm going to do what I got to do because I want Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I don't feel tempted to be good. Nobody says, yeah, I was tempted to be kind. I was being tempted to just go and worship. No, we are tempted to always do what? Everything that drifts us away from God. So many times when I'm drifted away from God because of my nature, I find myself spiritually empty or drained or exhausted in my soul because of just my nature, self-inflicted things. And that's the nature we have. And we're going to have that until we go to be with God, right? But we need to be aware that, you know what? Paul says, hey, Philemon refreshed my heart. Because by the way we live life, we are going to find ourselves, even just in our nature, being drained. Because you know what? I rarely, easily choose habits that refresh me. By nature, it just, I know, if you're here and you're like, oh yeah, I got it dialed in and, you know, it comes easier to me. Good for you. You're the exception. But the rest of us have to work on it. Have to be very intentional on it. Have to like say, I'm going in. Because it just doesn't come easy. All right. So, you see, beyond these four walls, beyond this 90 minute here, is where real ministry needs to happen. Because it's out there that you are going to be in need of being refreshed. It is on Wednesday afternoon, after you had a terrible meeting at work, that you're going to need some refreshment. It is on a Friday afternoon, when five people cut you off on the freeway consistently, one after the other, that you're going to need some refreshment. It is on that Tuesday morning, when your wife or husband is mad at you, Don't want to see you, and you're going to need some refreshment. It is out there, not in here. Somebody's out there that you got to have the ability or resource to be refreshed. Now, the question is, who is helping you right now in your life to refresh you during the week? Who is there to encourage you and push you towards Christ? Or even a better question, who are you helping? Is there somebody that counts on you? Is there somebody that you are helping to push, to refresh? Because Philemon was known as a fellow worker, but Paul says he's the guy that refreshed my heart. He was a man that was refreshing my life. Now, here's the thing. We all have different relationships. The question is, how can we leverage the relationships that God has given us to build this aspect of being refreshed by each other, for each other? Because we have the relationships. You see, what God has done, he has put us in relationships. To make it easy, like in this church, if you're not, but in this church so far right now, what we have done is we have tried to ask you to be in a group of 3 to 5 people where you can connect together every week. I think this God is doing something. He's like, I want you to connect. I want you to be connected so you can reflect, because it's out there that real ministry needs to happen. I need you to do that. But my worry or my concern is that God may be doing this and we may not utilize it. We may miss out this opportunity like Philemon was, who was a person who refreshed others. And God says, I want you to refresh each other, because up from heaven, I see what everybody's dealing with. But you know what? I can't just come shoot from heaven and help you. I need you to help each other. I need you to build each other. I need you to refresh each other. But if we're not intentional in doing that, and by the way, if you're here like, you know, I just came later. I don't know about that. I need a group. I would love to make sure that everybody is part of a connection of somebody that you in the week can pray together, encourage each other, build each other, refresh each other, because it is what the Bible calls us to do. Because this is not supposed to be a Sunday experience where I see you Sunday and that, but it's supposed to be a place where we're walking together, fighting together, battling together, hanging together, standing together, building one another, encouraging one another, because Philemon was that kind of person. Every day you're going to be drained. How many know we already have relationships that drain us? We already have that. Refreshing relationships are the ones we need to fight for. Are the ones we need to open our hearts up to. That's what we're trying to create, this environment in this church where this is how Bible did it. Christians did it. We may not be doing it now, but we need to do it. We need to get back and say, what does God do? God wants us to pray together, encourage together, build together, you know, and talk with each other, because that is where real ministry happens. Now, like I say, we all have draining relationships in our life, and sometimes they're at work. You know, is that person you dread seeing every Monday and Tuesday, that, you know, that coworker that is kind of trying to get you in trouble. You know what I'm saying? We already have those, right? And some of those are actually what you call useless relationships. They don't add value to your life. Any relationship that is really not helping you be better in the sight of God, you can't call it a useful relationship, because the whole purpose is for you to get closer to Jesus so you can receive all that he has for you, so you can give it to others. Right? The refreshing and give it to others. But we already, now, I'm not saying just go and dump everybody in your life as long as, but I want you to know that, you know, I have to know where the value is. I need to know who are the people God has put in my life that I'm not leveraging, but these people are supposed to help me and I'm supposed to help him, and we're supposed to push together. Yes. Who are those people? You see, this guy, you got Onesimus in the Bible, in Philemon. Paul talks about Onesimus, right? And this is what he says. that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. So in other words, Paul intersected, his life intersected with Paul's life. Paul led him to Christ and he became his son. And here's what Paul says. Formerly he was what? He had no value because he lived for himself. He didn't care. He was what? Useless to you. He was useless to you, Philemon. He didn't help. He just didn't push you towards God. He did not refresh you. He drained you. But now he has become useful both to me and you. He's now useful. In other words, Onesimus now encourages me, builds me. He has positioned himself in a place where he adds value to my life, refreshes me, helps me in my walk. And so Onesimus is now allowing God to use his life. Because the common denominator from being useless to useful is Onesimus. Onesimus was one person here, and then he says, you know what? I want to be used by God. I want to make myself available. And I will let God do the rest. You see, when you understand this, it takes the pressure off. Because you don't have to make it happen. You just have to be available. You just have to be willing and make yourself available for the people that God put in your life. That group of people that God has connected you with. You just have to make yourself available for them and let God do the rest. You see, in my group, whenever we call and pray with each other every Thursday from 8:30, I don't have to rehearse and prepare and all that. Neither does anybody. Derek doesn't do that or Pete doesn't. We just make ourselves available and let it happen as God intends to happen. And great things have come out of it because we've met it. Said, this is what we do, you know. Last week, you know, one of our friends, Troy, is in Texas. His son is getting married. And on our group, we're like, we're praying for you. We're praying for him because he knows he's got a few brothers that have his back. We're praying for each other. But that's what we are doing. We're becoming useful to each other, pushing each other towards Christ. Does that make sense? That's what Philemon was. And so he's like, here's you. So you got to make sure. Is relationships in life, you're useful to them because we're different strength, different experiences. Someone in your groups needs to know what you know. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Needs to know what you know. Needs to hear what you've gone through. Needs to know the battles you're fighting so they can fight along. Needs to know what you have overcome so they can be encouraged. We need godly, refreshing relationships in our lives. Okay? So here's what he says. I would have liked to keep him. He says, I'd like to keep Onesimus so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. He's like, I'd like to keep him. Think about that. Onesimus was that valuable to Paul. But I want to ask you, how many books in the Bible did Onesimus write? None. How many miracles do we read in the Bible that Onesimus did? None. What besides this, is there anything but Paul says, I need him? Think about that. Because he's doing your work for me. He's like, I need Onesimus. I'd like to keep him, but I let him come because I'd like to keep him so he can help me do the work. Take your place. What place was that? What place was Philemon doing in Paul's life? Refreshing Paul. Onesimus comes in. Onesimus begins refreshing Paul. And Paul says, this guy, I would like to keep him because he refreshes me. He encourages me. He builds me up. Think about that. So the question is, wouldn't it be awesome if there was someone that you are encouraging every week? Would it be awesome if you were praying for somebody every week? Would it be awesome where there's 30 minutes in your week that are dedicated to a fellow soldier in Christ, a fellow brother, a fellow sister in the Lord? There's somebody you can share, encourage, listen to their struggles, listen to their battles. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were just that connected as God's word we see, as we see in the book of Philemon? Wouldn't it be awesome if you knew that somebody could possibly refresh you this week and maybe you refresh somebody else this week? Isn't that what God tells us to do? Look at that. He's taking the place of refreshing each other. That is what he was doing. Now, Paul had a very strong relationship with Philemon because Philemon was a guy that refreshed Paul. Onesimus came in, refreshed Paul. Because of that commitment they had to each other, Paul says to Philemon, he says, "I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart." Think about that. Paul is vulnerable. He's like, "Hey man, I want you to refresh my heart. Because that's who you are. That's what you have proven yourself. That's the man you are. Refresh my heart." My question to us is, I want you to think about Paul, who was one of the greatest generals of God that has ever walked on this planet. Paul was a man that was so close to Jesus that Jesus took him into the heavens and he saw things, and God told him, "Paul, what I've shown you, don't even talk about it, because it's going to be over their mind. Nobody's going to be able to understand. And Paul, by the way, your vocabulary cannot explain this. So I just want to show you, but don't tell anybody about it." They will have to see it for themselves. This is Paul. This is a man that was so close to the Holy Spirit that he wrote 2/3 of the Bible you read. We see all the miracles he did. Now, if this Paul needed to be refreshed, how much more you and I do? If he needed it, if he valued it, if he talked about it, because when I read Philemon, I couldn't help but see this theme. If Paul needed it, my question is, why not you? Why not me? Why would I not put value on it if Paul, as great, as strong, as powerful as he was, put such value to being refreshed by others? Why not us? Why would I think it's not important to connect with people in the week? Why would I not think it's important to pray with a brother and sister in the week? Why would I think that my life is too busy that I don't have time for it? The only reason I don't have time, because I don't think it's important. But if I believe that this is important, I would make time. I would have time. If Paul needed it, why don't I? Why don't you? Think about that. What would happen if we were connected every week? And we didn't see this as a burden. We didn't. We refresh each other. This is what God has called. Paul says, "Refresh my." Now, here's the thing. You know how we're changing all this thing today? You know, like Paul. Oh, you're the general. Oh, you are mighty in God. You don't need to be refreshed. No, a person we don't even know, read about in the Bible, Paul needed him, depended on him. This is what we're saying. This is not about a one-man show. It's not about a pastor or pastor. No, we need each other. I need you. Like when I call my guys, when we call, they help me. I get off that line and I'm encouraged and I'm built up, because I don't have it all together. I get exhausted too. My spirit gets weighed down too. But when I call and Derek prays and Pete prays and you know, I get encouraged too. I get built up. Because that's what God says we need to be. All right? So we're doing church here different. We're not looking at it one man to say, "Yo, he's got it all together." Paul's like, "I don't have it all together." Paul says, I need you to refresh me. That's what we want you to believe, that you bring value. We want you to believe you matter. Stop thinking that it's only the people that stand up here that can do it. No, you can. God says you can. I want to use you. God says he wants to use you. He wants to use you in our lives. We need each other. Now, here, I want to finish. This is so good. This was just amazing. Listen, we need to be refreshed, because here's the thing. Netflix is cool. Amazon Prime is cool. Hulu's Prime. Hulu's cool. All that is cool, but it's not going to cut it. You know how many of you know you're excited to just, you feel like you're so excited, you just want to go to, you're like, I've just had a terrible week, I just want to go see a movie. And it all disappeared the moment you walk out that theater. And you're back to where you were. Why? Because you can't meet spiritual needs by physical abilities. You need that connection, that system going to be able to help each other. Now, I want to finish with this. Here's what Paul says. Confident of your obedience. Think about it. He says, confident of your obedience. How many know we got enough people that are flex? It'd be so cool to have some people you're confident about. Right? He says, confident of your obedience, I wrote to you that I know you will do even more than I ask. Think about that. I'm confident. That means I can count on you. How could it be if we had brothers and sisters in our lives that we're confident about? Because Brother Philemon was one you could be confident about. When Brother Philemon said, I'll call you, he called you. When Brother Philemon said, I'll be there, he was there. When Brother Philemon said, I'll talk to you on Wednesday, he actually talked to you on Wednesday. He was a guy you could count on. How many know we need a lot of that? To have people in our lives that we can count on. But more importantly, could you and I be the people that can be counted on? That you make that choice. You know what? I'm going to be the person others can count on. I'm going to be dependable. I'm going to be like Philemon. I'm going to honor my word, respect my word. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be faithful to my friends. I'm just going to be there for my brothers. I'm going to be there for my sister. And then I'll be the confident person that you can count on me. That if I say I'll do it, I'll do it. If I say I'll be there for you, I'll be there for you. That's what Philemon was to Paul. Paul's like, man, I'm confident. Think about it. That's such huge. You're like, I'm confident of your obedience. Because I know you'll do even more than I ask. Those are the relationships we need in our lives. We need those refreshing relationships of people we can be very confident about. More importantly, it would be cool for us to be those people. As I finish, here's what I want you to see. God uses human relationships to bring us closer to himself. True. But also, the devil uses human relationships to take us farther from God.